the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
That would have been cute. That would have been really cute. I know, Dr. Fazzino, you are awesome sauce. Brains, look who I have. Dr. Dolores Frazino from Encinitas, California. She is a medical intuitive. What is a medical intuitive, and how does that work in conjunction with traditional medicine? It's going to raise your frequency. She is called the energy whisperer. So we want her to talk loud because we want to hear what she's saying, know what's going on in the world of medicine and advancement. This is going to be amazing. I'm really excited to have her here. Right up the road from me, Encinitas, California. You know I'm down in San Diego. And Encinitas is a very spiritual place. We've got the meditation garden there. It's not too far from the Chopra Center. There's a lot of great things going on. I think we are creating our own little vortex. Brains, help me welcome to the Edge today, Dr. Dolores Frazino. How are you?
Thanks. I am just really excited to be here. And thank you so much for having me come on board, April. I really appreciate that. And it's a real privilege to be here and spend some time with you. So what would you like to know?
Well, I mean, let's start with your journey. Let's start with how you even found energy and the work that you do and how you've incorporated that in medicine, holistic medicine.
Okay, sure. I'd be glad to help you with that. So, you know, first of all, I think everybody has a story that you know, catapults them to where they are on their path. And for me, I grew up in Connecticut, which is on the opposite coast. And I grew up in a family where we weren't allowed to feel. That's probably a more common thing than not. But I was an empath, intuitive, and highly sensitive person coming into this world. My parents did not know what to do with me.
Well, wait. I want to get a definition there. Explain to my brains, what is an empath?
An empath is somebody who is very sensitive and feels things at a very deep level, meaning that sometimes you don't know where your energy ends and somebody else's begins. And so sometimes you energetically dovetail your energies together. You take on their energetic component and you try to make it your own and heal it for them. And then remember, this is all happening on an unconscious level. I think many of us have stepped into a room and energetically have felt something off. You know what I'm saying? Where, or that's like the residue of energy that, you know, was left behind. Some people could feel that, some people can't. People who could feel that are usually more empathic, or they take on other people's things as their own, when in essence, it's not theirs or their responsibility to fix as well.
Well, folks better have some control over that, because you could be taking on a mess, but you could also be taking on a blessing. And so you
absolutely
have to be, to be able to edit and filter that.
Absolutely, April. And, you know, I think many of us are born and we don't realize that we are that way. We are trying to mold and fit into a world, and our parents are trying to put us into a box a lot of times to try to control us, because, you know, they don't know anything different than they learned from their parents. There's an ancestral component coming with that as well. And, you know, my parents, I was a very willful little child, even from stepping out of the uterus. Pretty much. I did my own thing.
Okay, you didn't slide out. You stepped out. Go on with yourself.
Well, you know what? I was 2 weeks late, and it's just like, I think I realized what I signed up for and really didn't want to, you know, really didn't want to come out, because I knew what was going to happen. Seriously. So anyway, I joke about that. But moving forward, you know, I was on the path to become a concert clarinetist, because in my family, we weren't allowed to feel, okay? Being an empath, I could feel things. Like, my mom's solution to problems was like, ignore it, it'll go away. And I'm like, Mom, it's not going away. I could feel it. And so what happened when I was about 7 years old, my dad had to have major surgery because he threw his back out. And back in 1966, medicine was not what it was like today, okay? He ended up having the surgery, and then he picked up an hospital-acquired infection, like possibly the instruments weren't sterilized properly. They operated on him, and he got really sick. In fact, he was so sick, he was in the hospital for over 2 months. He recovered from that. However, starting 4 years later in 1970, whenever his immune system would get compromised, he would get deathly ill again, be on his deathbed, have to go in the hospital, have operations because he would be developing pockets of abscesses throughout his abdomen.
Was it like a superbug?
Like, exactly. This even predates the superbug, but that's what it was. It was a superbug. And so this happened a total of 4 times during my childhood. So my life was like an emotional roller coaster, because I never knew when my dad got sick. First of all, he was going to make it out of the hospital because he was on his deathbed every single time. And not being able to feel or express that, I got very proficient and I dove into music and got very, very, very good at it. Mm. In fact, by the time I was 16 or 17, I was contemplating going to college for that. But what was happening in tandem was that was the 4th time that my father developed this mysterious problem with his health that would just resurface every, you know, a year to 18 months when his immune system got compromised. So flash forward to 1975, when I was about 16, 17, the CAT scanner was developed. So we had one in Connecticut, and they put my dad under the CAT scanner, and they were able to determine that where the infection was coming from was his original surgery that he had back in 1966. Well, that was the good news. The bad news was that the solution was going to be having to have a major back surgery, which in 1976, 75, 76 was in its neophyte stages, what they call a lumbar fusion. Okay, what they did today.
They couldn't do that minimally evasively with a cannula.
No,
cut your back straight open.
Right, but in addition to that, it was in its neophyte stages of development, and it came with a 50% risk of either being paralyzed or dying. And my mom was going to have nothing to do with that, so my mom started exploring alternative modalities to healing because she wasn't getting the answer she needed from Western medicine. So my mom explored, and she found a gentleman who was a Presbyterian minister from Caro, Michigan. His name was Reverend Dr. Alex Holmes, and he had the gift of laying on hands and helping people heal. And so he had been doing that for 20 years up until, 1975, 76, when my mom contacted him, and he was very successful in helping people heal from situations where Western medicine pretty much gave up on him. So my mom was excited to have him come. My dad was really hesitant, and my dad said this: only if the surgeon agrees to it will I do it. So my dad at that time was in the hospital, and this was almost, I want to say, probably almost 45 years ago now.
Wow.
To the day. And so my mom marched out to the nurse's station, and there was a surgeon sitting there, and she announced to the surgeon, "Doctor, I'm thinking about having a spiritual healer come in to help my husband with his injury. Would that be okay?" The surgeon was writing, looked up without missing a missing a beat, and said, "Sure, that would be fine." Then he went back to doing what he was doing. So my mom went back to my dad's room and made the announcement to him that the surgeon agreed to have this done. My dad agreed to have this done. And then this is the magical part that happened. My mom marched back out to the nurse's station. Not 10 minutes went by. Surgeon was still sitting there. She reannounced to the surgeon saying, "My husband agreed to have the spiritual healer come in." The doctor looked up and said, "What are you talking about? I never agreed to that."
Really?
Yes, this was a God intervention. Because, of course, my mom didn't go back and tell my father that, but my dad needed to hear that in order to move forward.
Right.
So a month later, Reverend Holmes came from Carroll, Michigan to our house. It was January 1976. I was a junior in high school. My brother was a sophomore. My sister was a freshman. My youngest sister was in seventh grade. They waited for us to come home. Both my grandmothers were there and my parents with the minister. And so my dad at that time, we all knew this, that he had one leg that was about an inch shorter than the other. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me how the minister knew this, because nobody told him that. And plus, my dad was barefoot in his slippers and usually wore a lift, and his shoes were nowhere in sight. So he was talking about quoting things from the Bible and talking about healing, because there's a lot of healing in that Bible. A lot of it's symbolic. And he said, Joe, that was my dad's name, I noticed that one of your legs is shorter than the other. And he was sitting down. He said, put both your feet up. And sure enough, he put a book under the longer leg, and there was an inch gap. And he said, put your feet down. And then he started praying over my father. He touched my dad's solar plexus. That's your power center in the top of his head, the crown, and started saying prayers. And it wasn't 2 or 3 minutes. And he said, Joe, put both your feet up. His feet were both the same length.
Wow.
I knew in that moment that my life changed forever. Mm-hmm. I witnessed a miracle. And I decided that I was no longer going to be a concert clarinetist. That it was my mission in this lifetime to talk about healing in ways you never thought possible. So continuing on with my dad's story, the Reverend was with, my dad was sobbing because my dad needed to have validation that something was actually happening to believe that healing could happen. So he was sobbing like a baby. That was one of the few times I ever saw him like cry uncontrollably. Mm. And it was a very emotional time. The Reverend prayed over him for another half an hour, and then he instructed my father to go lie down and rest, because when energy work is done, your field is completely open. And pretty much my dad slept for the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
A month later, my dad went in for a repeat CAT scan. They found no evidence of the infection in his body at all. He never had to have that surgery. In fact, he never had to revisit that problem the rest of his life. And this was in 1976. He passed away at the ripe old age of 80, almost 8 years ago.
Wow. Wow, wow.
So that was my initiation into what I do.
it made you a believer, that's for sure.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. So
your whole work has been from a holistic perspective from its inception?
Yes. Very much so.
All right. Yeah.
When you witness a miracle like that, people think you're cray cray.
Oh yeah.
I mean, oh totally. And it's just like, it's kind of interesting, because when people make a judgment call like that, they really negate an experience that somebody actually had. And you know, that's not fair.
It's not fair, but you know what, Dolores, let's keep it 100. It's scary. Okay.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. People don't understand the metaphysical. They don't understand their subconscious mind. They don't understand the work of God. Okay. Everything is just, you know, what you see. Is, you know, if I can't see it, touch it, smell it, or taste it, it doesn't exist.
And you're absolutely right. My father was one of them. But, you know, many of us knew differently. So, and, you know, considering that this happened back in the 70s, you're flashing forward now almost 45 years later. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, it's a whole different time. And actually, it's being a little more embraced than it had been over the last few decades.
Oh, it hugely embraced more than what it is, because people are looking for alternatives. You know, I'll tell you a little quick story about me. I knew I had a calling, a spiritual calling, that I needed to go to Beijing, China. I was Chinese in a former life. That's a whole nother show, brains. I'll break it down to you. but I had this awakening. And so I called my girlfriend and I said, hey, you know, let's go to China. And she goes, China? Who wants to go to a third world country? I asked Mama. Mama said, black folks ain't going to China. Go to the Bahamas. I said, Mama, there's something there for me. I said, I was there once before. As soon as I get off the plane, our driver, looks at me, rocking this big afro, looks at my friend, Paul Finn, white girl with, you know, 20 years my junior, this long hair. He's not understanding what's going on. We get in the car, and I'm feeling this kind of energy because I had had a come to Jesus meeting on the plane. And the first thing he looked at is our itinerary, and he goes, tomorrow you, he pointed at me, he says, you need to go to the clinic. I said, the clinic? Like, I didn't come here to go to no clinic. I came here to temples and, you know, get my Zen right and, you know, all this kind of stuff. He goes, oh, no, that's your destiny. Fast forward, long story short, I get there, they open the door. This place is tricked out brains. There's not a fingerprint anywhere. Koi, as big as I've ever seen. Herbal pharmacy downstairs. I go up, this doctor comes in. He checks my liver, my kidney, and my spleen right here on my wrist. He tells me about my former life, my present life, and what to prepare my body for and myself for my future life. It was incredible. I started to cry. I was afraid. I was like, what? And he checked me externally. So there is power. There is wisdom, ancient wisdom. Okay. Just because the doctor's done the test and something's come up in your blood, you know, things can change.
Absolutely.
You know, I understand being cautious. And if you are under the care of a physician, by all means, stay right there. I'm not trying to tell you that. But there are alternative modalities that work, that are powerful, and have been around before the stethoscope. Okay? So move us fast forward and tell us about your training and how did you become a medical intuitive and an energy whisperer?
Well, you know, so I went to school in Philadelphia and things were happening right along. I would be seeing energy and things would happen. I, you know, graduated in 81 from Wider University in Philadelphia and spent some time in Philadelphia. And it's like my intuition was really starting to grow and I would be able to know things before they would happen. And that's a great skill to have, especially when you're a nurse, because you, you're working one-on-one with people and you could pick up things that sometimes the physicians are not honed in on. But there are very important aspects. And, you know, from Philadelphia, I moved back to Connecticut where I grew up and spent some time in the ICU and I, you know, decided that surgery was where my true heart was. And once I ended up in the surgical arena, life just really opened up for me. It was almost as if I had been there before. And so what I do now is I assist in surgery, and I moved to California probably 31 years ago. And I'm very interested in people's, how they create illness for themselves. Because in our world, you know, and I want to go back a little bit what you were talking about, how, you know, there's, you know, traditional medicine and a lot of complementary and alternative medicine
right.
as well.
Right.
You know, if you can visualize a pie and the pie hole is health and wellness, and every slice around that hole, pie hole, is an equal slice of everything inclusive of complementary, alternative, and inclusive of Western medicine. Everything is good by itself. And when you start moving the parts together differently for each individual, they're very synergistic. It's like the 1+1 theory is more. Okay, 1+1=3. It's like the pieces are good by themselves, but there is more synergy when they're combined together. So April, just for an example, for you, whatever you're dealing with, maybe you need some yoga, maybe a little bit of Western medicine, and maybe some herbal remedies. For me, maybe it'll be like some Chinese medicine, some acupuncture, some movement therapy, and maybe a little bit of Western medicine. You know, it's like everybody's so uniquely different.
Right.
That it's not a one-shop stop that everything's going to fit for everybody. That's why there's so many different modalities. It's
right.
about what resonates with you. And I think we all have that inner physician within us that once we learn to tap into that and listen at a very deep level, stop the mind chatter and stop going in multiple directions, quiet ourselves, go within, you are just externally led to the next piece that you need for your overall health and wellness.
But it's finding the right recipe for success,
yes.
Okay? And there's trial and error. You have to allow it some time, just like you get a new medication. You know, my dear aunt, bless her heart, she's got so many things going on. Every time she takes a new medication, she gets some sort of reaction. You don't know. And so she's afraid and she's fearful. So what would you tell a person that's in that space right now? You can't just automatically trust folks.
Okay, so, you know, that's a very good question. And this is perfect segue for, you know, the next part that I want to talk about is that so many times we give our power away to something outside of ourselves. And what happens in the medical world right now is this, and I could say this because I've spent over 40 years in that area, in that arena. I have a doctorate in nursing practice. I'm also a nurse practitioner in addition to a medical intuitive, and I kind of bridge the physical with the non-physical, so to say.
Okay.
In Western medicine currently, they only focus on 25% of the holistic wheel. That's the physical.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That's only 25%. And the way they are taught is like they diagnose, prescribe a pill, do a procedure. So in your aunt's case, okay, she has blood pressure problems. They put her on a blood pressure med. Then all of a sudden she has a side effect from the blood pressure med.
Right. That's what she
said. So they will give her something for the side effect, give her another med in addition to that to counteract the side effect. But they're never getting down to the root cause of why she has the high blood pressure. Okay.
Well, a lot of people, even with cancer, you know, they treat that cancer, but that cancer might have started in your liver and, you know, they're treating ovarian cancer. They never really find out exactly where it starts.
Well, and I'm going to go a little further with that since you mentioned, you know, cancer. That's an extreme case of things. Being in surgery for, you know, over the last 30 plus years, and I've assisted on close to 12,500 surgeries in the last 26 years as an assistant surgeon, I would see repeat people coming back. Like I call them frequent flyers. It's like, if we used to do a lot of surgery for oncology, like cancer.
Right.
And for example, you know, why is it women, they come down with breast cancer, they get the mastectomy, lumpectomy, do the chemo and the radiation, they get better. And then why 2 to 3 years later, there's a relapse and they have form another cancer.
Mm.
Okay. So when you look at it from that perspective, what I was saying, 25%, yes, we're working on the physical, but there's the emotional stuff that's going on, the things that we don't feel, that we've stuffed, denied, ignored. There's also the mental, the thoughts, beliefs, the things that we say to ourselves.
Oh,
sometimes
girl,
we're not kind to ourselves at all. You know that.
That's right.
And then also our connectedness to our spirituality, that inner knowingness, that inner voice that is, you know, your intuition that is telling you what is the right thing to do, even though it may sound counter to what you're being told on the external.
Right.
So those are the areas that if they're not addressed, you will never have a lasting, permanent healing experience. Mm. And that's where I come in and I work with people to unravel that.
Let's keep it 100 because that's what we do here on the real. That's a television show. On the edge, Dr. Dolores. Everybody's not going to survive. Everybody's not going to survive. Okay.
No.
There's going to be situations where people are going to transition and move on.
Absolutely. Okay? And maybe that's their next. That is probably part of their path.
Right. And maybe. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They have to also be able to untangle that as well.
Absolutely.
You know, and consciously. And know that, you know, me personally, I don't believe that it is the end. There's a comma or a semicolon, and you're going to go on and do greater things. But when you run across a person that you intuitively know from the get-go, they're not going to be able to survive whatever it is that they're going through. How do you work with them? How do you prepare them? How do you prepare their heart for that information?
You know, that's a very good question, April. And it's, I always believe that, you know, there's sometimes when, and I've had numerous people that I've worked with that, you know, they don't make it. But it's like, how can we have a, this is going to sound a little morbid, a good death experience?
That's not morbid. That is not morbid. That, I mean, you know, we're not going to sit up and dance a jig.
No.
But it could be a peaceful transition and an understanding based upon how you live and how you die.
Absolutely. And, you know, this kind of goes back to my history of being an ICU nurse. I've never forgotten some of those experiences where, you know, pretty much we knew a young person was going to pass away. They were basically on their deathbed. They've stabilized. Family had been holding the vigil for a very long time. They had stabilized enough that we said, go home, get a shower and stuff like that. Well, within 2 hours, that patient was starting to you know, decompensate. Mm-hmm. So we'd have to call the family back to the point where they were almost flatlined, but as soon as a family member, and she was in a coma, as soon as a family member came in, her heartbeat perked up again. It was almost as if she was waiting to say goodbye.
Right.
You know, those are the little things that have happened in my career well, I'll never forget. But it just is, it is, and my heart is so welling up right now and open. It's just that the love never goes away.
Never. Because you cannot see them physically.
Yep.
Please believe and trust that they are there spiritually.
Oh, they are. I had Thanksgiving with my parents this year. They've been both passed away.
And I had a situation, a call from my brother. My brother passed away suddenly. And I was here and I was saying, oh God, I said, I miss him so. I said, I wish I could talk to him. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I never stopped you from talking to him.
Yeah.
I never stopped you. And it was such a comforting at that point. I was like, well, can he play dominoes with me?
Well, you never know.
People want to know. So, you know, you've compiled all of this in some great literature. Tell us about your books.
Okay, good. Well, I've got a couple. The first one is Spiritual Wellness for Life. And what this book is about are stories from my personal and professional life where there's been an aha moment. And there's inspiring stories of forgiveness, transformation, and healing. And, you know, I think I shared, you know, briefly about my journey with my father, and that story's in there in more detail as in regards to that. But there's also been other stories as well. And this was published a few years ago. And believe me, there's at least another 18 stories that could go into this, because time is, I don't know about what you're thinking, April, but time has been speeding up and a lot of things have been happening rather quickly.
Really? Okay, we are right there. Okay, I'm talking about, I'm nervous. I'm really nervous. I mean, I'm looking at...
Don't be nervous. You got this, girl.
Well, I'm trying to hold on, okay? That's why I got the edge. But I'm talking about climate change. I don't care what anybody thinks. Brains is real, okay? I've seen it. When we're talking about just the you know, things that are prophesized in my word, in the Bible, revelations, just things that are happening and so quick. The time is just, time is an illusion. I had a great guest on that, actually a physics professor.
Yeah.
That taught me really what time is. It's not what we think it is. It's not from 12 to 12. Okay. Yep. I mean, previously in the word, it said people live to be 700 years old. So we don't really have a true concept of what time really is. And as you say that it's speeding up, what do we do to kind of keep pace? We can't chase the carrot, but what do we do to kind of keep pace and keep ourselves in sync?
Well, you know, I have this theory that there needs to be a balance between the doing and the being.
Mm.
Okay. So when we're in doing mode, this is what the world is like. It's constantly in motion. You have to figure it out. You know, you're pushing a boulder up a hill. You're trying to make something happen. You know, this is like what our corporate world is like. People who are working on in the corporate world, it's like the bottom line is how much money could we make each quarter, blah, 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 blah. Keep going and going and going.
Right.
This sometimes, this is an old paradigm. And we have found that as people keep going and going and going with this, they continue to get more stressed. And we know stress leads to illness and to disease and unwellness. Also with doing is that if you look at it from a physiological standpoint, when you're doing, you're in your head thinking, which is not a bad thing, but it's got to be a balance.
Right.
When you're thinking, you're either in past or the future. You're never in present moment.
That makes perfect sense.
Okay,
right.
So now go from doing to being, okay? We have two different columns. The being part is like when you are in your body. When you're in your body, you're in your heart space.
Okay.
When you're in your body, you're in present time.
Okay.
You're here, right now.
Right.
This is where you're able to experience emotion. Okay. When you're in present time, you're right here, right now, your emotions are right in the moment. We have a society that will do anything to not experience an emotion because it scares the crap out of them. So they go over to doing and they're in their head trying to figure out the emotion. And you really, tidbit is this, you know, where people are when they say, I think I feel, they're intellectualizing their emotions. They're not truly experiencing their emotions. They're in their head. You have to be in your physical body to have that experience. So when you're in your heart space, you're in present time, you're, it doesn't matter. It's like you're in the moment, you're in flow, you're in ease, you're in grace, you're in the ability to co-create with the universe. And so this is where you do your mindful activity. And mindful activity could be anything from, you know, doing like a formal meditation to just being out in nature, spending time with a pet, going to the ocean, gardening. It could be playing music. It could be like doing, you could even be binging on Netflix. You're in the moment doing that.
That's an idea.
There you go. So, but the thing is, and you look at the generations prior to us, like our grandparents and great grandparents, they used to do crafts. They used to knit, they used to tat, they used to sew. That was their mindful activity. That got them into their present moment. When you're in your present moment, and you're doing something you absolutely like, sometimes you get a divine download. That's your intuition talking. And you get an idea and you're like, oh my God, that's incredible.
That's
so
brilliant.
You have
this
divine download. Then you go into divine doing.
Right.
And then you, so I'm going to give an example. The first business I started was about 30 years ago. And it really, and it was related to healthcare. And it was being an assistant in surgery. And I turned I was in the doing phase. I did everything I could. I networked. I forced a boulder up a hill, yada, yada, yada. The bad thing was, is that I created an autoimmune condition for myself because of that.
Oh, wow.
So what happened was, it's like people have said, you know, Dolores, when are you going to start another business? I said, well, you know what? If I have to do it that way, it's never going to work because I'm not doing that again because it was way too hard. So I decided what I've been doing for the last 15 years is like I spend time in meditation where I meet with my boardroom and the CEO of me.
That's right.
We have a meeting every day and we sit and say, okay, what's on the docket today? Exactly. So I am receiving information and sometimes I get an intuitive hit like, okay, you need to go to the beach. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm not sure why I need to go to the beach today, but I'm going to go to the beach. And I go to the beach and I run into somebody that I haven't met and that I haven't seen in a long time. And they say, oh my God, you know, I was just thinking about you. I want to connect you with, you know, this person I know that I think you guys could do some business together. So the introduction's made and there's a connection and the business is going together. Okay. So what I'm saying is like being in the B phase, you're getting the divine download, and then you go into divine action, divine doing, come back, get that piece, and go back here to find out what's the next piece.
Mm.
That's how we shift this whole stress thing to doing this. It's not like a this or that. You need both. But what you start with is the being instead of the doing.
Okay. All right. Well, I am loving it, and I'm so glad that you're close to me.
You got to come play.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We got to come and meet and you know, really kind of talk about this, because there's some heavy duty lifting that needs to be done. Yeah. And I'm ready for mine. I've had some things that have happened to me recently that have really changed my life. I had a conversation with someone I've never met before yesterday. And I tell you, Dr. Dolores, I started speaking in tongues. I prophesied to this woman, and she told me that I'm not a channeler, or I don't claim, you know, I don't claim.
You are.
Maybe I should claim my gift, but I don't do this normally. I mean, I was really a vessel. I told her so many things. She started crying on the phone. I was a nervous wreck. To whom much is given, much is required. And I'm so glad that I was able to do that for her. And offline, I'm going to tell you what happened. It was incredible. At 4:30 in the morning, okay? It was crazy. And so, again, there's a lot of energy out there. And people, open yourself up to listening to that inner voice. Don't be afraid. Journal it. Write it down and see if it manifests and comes true. Keeping it to yourself, you know, or enabling your children to speak their truth or who they are and to shine, suppressing that, you know, it's like shaking up a can of soda and then popping open the top. It's going to explode. It's going to fizzle.
Absolutely.
Everywhere. So
good analogy.
So don't be afraid. You know, you got to feel the fear and do it anyway, because this world is amazing. It is far beyond what we know.
And the other thing I want to piggyback onto what you're saying, April, is this. We all have beautiful gifts to be sharing with others.
Yes.
You never know how your story is going to impact somebody else and change their lives. And I just encourage people to speak up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and share their gifts.
And if somebody thinks that you're crazy, you know, that might be the person that's not ready to receive it. Or
absolutely.
Just like Dolores's dad, he wasn't ready until he realized that foot moved, and now he's standing on, you know, level ground. So thank you so much for being here on The Edge. I mean, you've been amazing. I want you to come back and visit with me again. We are
going to
both have our coffee mugs.
We're gonna meet there
and Jesus take our coffee mugs and go in and have a conversation with people. And let them know what's going on. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you if they want to come and work with you on
a
level, or if they need some, you know, medical assistance, because she is a bona fide doctor, brains.
Well, I'm going to explain that a little bit too. I have a doctorate in nursing practice, and what that means is this. I am a nurse practitioner, and the end educational track for a nurse practitioner is a doctorate called the Doctorate of Nursing Practice. So I am Dr. Dolores Fazzino, nurse practitioner. I am not a medical doctor, but nurse practitioners function very closely to medical doctors. I see private patients for more of a consulting and healing aspect. I don't see you for your, quote, physical, for your physicals and your blood draws and stuff like that. I work with people one-on-one. So if you're at a crossroads in your life, or you're just feeling like you're lost, or you're not really sure what's next for you, just know that I have this for you. And I work with people to help them unravel all of this so you could heal at a deep core level and have the health, wellness, and well-being that you truly deserve. And you could contact me. My website is DoloresFazzino.com. And my tagline is healing in ways you never thought possible. So I invite you to go to the website. There is a free meditation to download. You just have to fill out the form to get it. And it's a guided meditation to ground your energy in multiple dimensions, so you could be more present in your physical body and be right here, right now, in this moment.
Be right here, right now, in this moment, here on The Edge, brains. I'm telling you, it's so much to fill your cup, literally. Okay, we are here. We love you. We adore you. We need you. And we need you to be in a good space, not in a space of fear, because you can't tackle anything there, but be in the present moment right now. And so thank you so much, Dr. Dolores Frazino, for being here on The Edge. Brains, go back and listen to other edgy conversations on The Edge. There's light stuff, arts, entertainment. You know what? I didn't even ask, but maybe you'll come back. Do you still play the clarinet?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, maybe we'll encourage you to pick it up.
Thanks.
There's so much power in music. Check it out. We got some great musical artists that are coming up here during this season. Thank you so much again. I, you just really tapped into my heart and it's overflowing. Brains, counting on you. Do all that you can do to be the best possible person that you can be. Bye.